This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 5. Today's topic, how to work proactively instead of reactively.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is a show where we help fellow millennials find their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you too can do the work you're meant to do. Your hosts are JC Preston, that's me. I used to love my Knight Rider big wheel when I was little. And then you got John Ridge, who grew up in a military family, and Brian Whitaker, who is going to have his third kid in just a few days. I hope you're all having a great October. Lots of things going on personally for me this week. We just opened up our Facebook group, New Inceptions Masterminder. Groups are making a huge comeback on Facebook, with pages kind of going the pay-per-view format. Of course, this format limits what posts are seen by followers, so the true communities out there are now switching to groups. So if you're listening to this, you might want to check that out. Also, last night I went on to an open house of Creative Zombie Studios here in Indy. For those of you who are interested in doing podcasts in person, or have no idea how to do the tech around a podcast, or maybe you're just in the Indy area and curious how podcasts work, I would check them out and give the head producer, Brad Shoemaker, a shout. His email to reach him is brad@creativezombie.com. brad@creativezombie.com. Also this week, I'm hosting the October edition of the Mizzle Meetup here in town. That is every third Thursday of the month. I'm thinking that I might actually start theming the meetups as topics so that, you know, it gives people more of an incentive to come and just instead of just chilling out. They can chill out at home, right? So let me know in the comments of the show notes if that would be something that you might consider instead of just going to a simple meet and greet sort of thing. So yeah, that's what I'm up to. Speaking of topic-based discussions, today's podcast is actually a topic session. And the topic we're going to be talking about today is how you can work proactively instead of reactively. Some of the subtopics that we're going to cover are what the definitions are of proactive and reactive when it comes to work, and how being proactive can help you not only get ahead in your career, but also your life. And then we got a little introduction to what the Prussian education system is. And finally, how you can think of accomplishing goals as training for a running event. This specific session is geared to the answer to the question, I'm not sure how to accomplish something that I've made a goal. It seems every time I try, I fail to get off the ground. What can I do to move forward? So we hope that this will help answer that question. Also remember that this podcast is for you guys. If you have a question, topic, or can think of someone that would be a good fit for the show, let us know. You can send us an email about it or them via heyguys@newinceptions.com. Always a good chance it'll be on the show. So enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session5. Hey everyone, welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Of course, I'm JC, and with me today is Brian and John, as usual, and we're looking to get you caught up on stuff. Specifically, we're going to be talking about thinking and working proactively and not reactively. So, John, what does that mean?
Well, guys, if I had to wrap it all up in a nutshell, I'd have to say that thinking proactively it all boils down to taking charge and thinking ahead and anticipating what comes next, as opposed to allowing your your circumstances that may arise dictate how you respond. And I feel far too many people live reactively as opposed to proactively. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's very easy to just be reactive. I mean, that's kind of like the passive response, right? Like, whereas like when you're proactive, you might set a goal or you might make a plan, and that takes effort. That takes thinking ahead, and it kind of takes this sense of purpose in some ways. So yeah, there's a lot of people who are kind of searching right now, and maybe being reactive is just like the status quo. It's just being in neutral, and they kind of go wherever their life circumstances or go wherever the wind takes them.
Let me ask you another question. What do you think we have this problem in today's society?
Well, that's easy. That's easy. I personally believe it's because it takes no effort to be reactive, as opposed to being proactive. You have to take time out and you have to think. And obviously, it's much more convenient to just react. I mean, Brian, right. what are your opinions?
I mean, yeah. You're right. You're right on the money with that. If I wanted to play the blame game, I could say like, well, you know, no one's really taught to be proactive as much as, I guess, you know, if you think about it in terms of school, like you get a syllabus at the beginning of your course. And so you can be proactive and like, you know, study beforehand or, you know, prepare yourself for certain classes or subjects or topics that you're going to get. But like, apart from that, like, what sort of syllabus are you given for like right. how to live your daily life?
Well, and going back to even what you said though, I think you can't, it's okay to, I don't want to say blame it. I think there is a little bit of, you know, one of the things I talk about all the time is called the Prussian education system, where we're basically modeled off of, and it's, you know, it's like, the fact that, you know, you want to educate your citizens to be role models, or not necessarily role models, but the role soldier. And that is what the Prussian education system was. It was a system developed to specifically teach citizens to follow the instructions of their leaders. If you Google this up or add it to your Wikipedia, it's a very take orders, follow orders, sort of mentality. And unfortunately, that doesn't necessarily help you if you're trying to be proactive. In fact, you're kind of stuck waiting for orders. And you think about it. I mean, in our school system, especially, you're looking at from the first year of kindergarten all the way up through college, you're told, okay, so you want to graduate. This is what it takes to graduate, and it's given to you. And then you get to college and it's like, okay, you want to be in this major. Hopefully you have your major figured out when you first get into school. You want to get this major, and here are the courses that you have to go through to get that major or that degree and that major. And so basically what I see is that from day one, it is force fed into you to be reactive, but you're just not aware of it. But I think you're right on the proactive side, is that people that do learn how to set their calendars in high school or even junior high, I remember some people using calendars that far back. I never understood why until college, but it's so much easier to manage your time and to manage your focus and just to get more stuff done. I guess the psychology of being proactive, you can say that is, you know, lack of clarity leads to the confusion and subsequently leads to procrastination. If you don't have true vision of what you want to get done, then you're seriously going to spend time spinning your wheels, and really the next best path that you're going to be hearing from is going to be fine for you to follow. And you're just going to be like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, and go down that path. And that's being totally reactive. So,
yeah. You know, hey, one other, you know, as you're talking about like the psychology of it, it makes me think towards like, you know, being proactive also sort of means achieving something, right? Like, so in your mind, your actions and your cause you to achieve something, whatever that is. You're able to sort of measure it. And so to be proactive, you have to have some sort of like measurement scale. And that's kind of what you, I imagine, is like you measure yourself against your plan.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And if you're, you know, if you're getting things done, then you're doing good. And if you're not getting all your things done, then you got to definitely change something up. Maybe you got to spread out your work a little bit more. Maybe you got to, you know, take a little bit more time to, you know, something maybe you decided that was an hour long, well, it ended up taking an hour and a half long, and then that just screws up the rest of your day, but you do got to learn how to adjust.
Yep.
Yeah. So, John, one of the things that you and I were actually talking about not too long ago was actually how Stephen Covey regards proactivity as one of the building blocks. You said most important characteristics of successful and effective people. And one of those things that you said was the ability to set goals. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. And you guys, I don't know if you've read the book, but if you haven't, I highly recommend it. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. I personally haven't read it since like the senior year of high school.
But, yeah, I haven't read it since then either.
But I do recall it making a huge impact on how I lived everyday life. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the biggest thing for me, that I had trouble with was setting goals and not only setting the goals, but taking the steps to achieve those goals and see them through. Because like many people, you know, January 1st would come around and I'd make out a list of 5-10 things that I wanted to accomplish throughout the year. But by January 31st, I couldn't tell you what one of those things were. And it's just simply because I didn't take the time to put forth the effort and see those goals through.
Hey John, why did Stephen Covey's book make this impact on you? You know, you graduated high school, you know, years ago. What is it that made this impact? Like, why do you remember it?
I feel like up until that point, really, I had just gone through the motions and sort of taken life as it had came to me.
It was the
easy approach. Which no high schoolers ever deal with, having only taken the easy approach, right?
No way. No.
But no, up until then, I mean, I really had no need to be proactive. And then, you know, going into college, looking back on it, it wasn't a big deal. But when you're in the hot seat, if you will, I mean, it feels like your whole world's changing at once. And I knew that something had to change from my standpoint. It was me taking charge. I up until that point, I'd never taken charge, but it was something that really, really helped me out and changed my life for the better. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't have it all figured out yet.
So what problem were you having back then? Like specifically time management?
Huge procrastinator. Look at my transcript from my freshman year and you'll see that I was a procrastinator. Totally average grades. Totally average. Which is totally
probably how he approached my math class.
Oh no, let's go back there. Yeah. Leave us to the accountant and finance major to screw up math. But no, I've got it down now, so we're good. But no, like you said, JC, I mean, I just, in that case, I'd show up to class, I'd do the homework, I'd take the test and be done with it. And I wouldn't think about it until then, not realizing that everything I was wanting to build my future on revolved around something as simple as math. And I think that's what this all boils down to is we look at the little things and we forget their importance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and taking the steps to accomplish those little things paves the way for bigger things to be accomplished.
Right.
You know, so that really leads into, just taking control of your life, in my opinion. But along the way, applying your own personal convictions and core values when making those important decisions. Because at the end of the day, you determine, you know, where, for the most part, I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand that there are extenuating circumstances that take place, but for the most part, you're in the driver's seat. And I feel that his book really showed me that, you know, there's more to life than just going through the motions, but you know, I have the ability to really determine where I end up, if right. that makes sense.
Something else that you'd mentioned, man, I don't know if it was this in the book or what, but it was SMART goals. What are SMART goals?
I can't recall if he mentioned SMART goal setting. He may have, and I just can't recall. But SMART goal setting is something that my dad actually taught me about, believe it or not. And it's simply, I know, yeah. It's an acronym for specific, measurable, which is Brian alluded to earlier, is having measurable goals that you can really, you know, pinpoint your
specific goals.
Specific goals, or okay. measurable goals that are measurable, goals that are attainable, relevant to your current situation, but also time bound. I mean, you don't just want to say my goal is to, for instance, run a marathon. I mean, you want to give yourself a deadline. I want to run a marathon by such and such date.
Right.
So like a SMART goal is something that, like, it's an acronym that you're basically just using to, like, this is how you make a good goal. This is how you plan a good goal. Yeah. Effective or, yeah.
I imagine that you would work backward then from that.
Is how yes. You're... Yeah. That's, okay. That's how I've always approached it. I mean, I'm sure there's multiple different ways, but
putting into chunks and all that.
exactly.
Okay. And speaking of which, I think that, you know, Brian and I, we are actually kind of coming up with a way to apply proactivity to doing project development and really just kind of doing your own thing. And so this might not be following the SMART model, but one of the things I think that the first thing you got to start with is developing a vision. So I guess that you got to make it very specific on what you're trying to achieve. Again, I mean, you're looking at, say you are wanting to, what was it? You said a mini marathon or a marathon? Not that.
I believe my
analogy.
Analogy was just of a full marathon, yeah. Okay, but I think it's
either or. Yeah. You know, you have this vision across on the finish line, and it's going to take a lot. Whether it's a 13.1 or a 26.2, I know it's going to be that. By the way, those are miles. So in case you didn't know what those numbers were.
Hey, I used to get confused by that. So
yeah, and I don't even know if they transfer. I haven't done the math, but I don't know if they transfer to kilometers too well. But either way, you're wanting to cross the finish line a heck of a long time down the road. You're not going to be able to just suddenly be like do that tomorrow. You're going to have to figure out training and maybe nutrition so you can, you know, or hydration or just different things to get to that point. So once you have that vision developed, you're going to have to step backward. And again, kind of like what I was talking about with John, you're going to have to divide it up into chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Because from experience, if you run a half marathon without preparing for it, it sucks. Been there, done that. The first half marathon I ran, I believe it or not, the most I'd ever ran prior to that was 2.5 miles.
That's not even a 5K.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Wow.
Yeah, and it sucked. And so I guess this can relate to what we're talking about. I just sort of flew by the seat of my pants, and it hurt for days afterwards. Like, I could barely walk. Anyway, what were you saying, JC?
So you're going to have to break that into the chunks, right? So again, in the look, using a runner's analogy. So if you're looking at a 5K, you got a 10K. And you got a mini, and then you got a full marathon. Those are the different races that you're going to hear of. And if you're trying to be thinking that, oh, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to do a mini, and you have you can't even do a regular 5K, which is 3.1 miles, and you know not collapse, then you're going to have issues. So what you need to do is you need to be able to break up your training to be able to do that mini, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So comparing this, bringing this back into the project world, you know, maybe a good example is, hey, you want to write a book. Okay, well, the book isn't going to write itself, right? Or maybe you want to, I don't know, learn how to play a guitar, but you're not going to know exactly how to do all that stuff tomorrow. Obviously, you're going to have to work towards that. So you're going to have to learn how to break that up. And one of the ways of doing that is to, okay, these are the, once I figure out how that's going to be broken up. So let's go back to the book. Okay, these are my chapters. Okay, chapter one, talking about this. Chapter two is talking about this. Three, four, five. And one way of doing that is actually being like, okay, so this is where the person starts. This is where the person is going to end after reading my book. If it's a self-help book, for example, and these are the five things, these are the seven things that I want to teach them between where they're starting and where they're ending. And as you start filling out that outline, then you can kind of divvy that up into a weekly workflow of actually getting that done. So
yeah, I think that's important too, divvying it up and making it achievable like on a weekly basis or even on a daily basis. Like when you talk about a vision, right? A vision is usually people think of something that's like really grand or really far off. You know, maybe like some really awesome thing you're excited about, but it could be far away, just kind of depending, or it may take some time to get there. So yeah, so to have it broken down in like a weekly workflow, and that's how you can measure yourself. And you can even set up like a review system, basically of your day or of your month or of your week, and just go back and reflect on like you can on how on what you've accomplished this week. Or you can also use it for planning out your day, like. And these are just simple like journals and calendars. I mean, Google Calendar, everybody, you know, has access to a calendar. If you don't even have a smartphone, you still have access to a paper calendar. Go to the Dollar Tree or whatever. Right. And, but yeah, the, there are other, more calendars that are more, geared towards, goals and review system. One of them is called the 5-Minute Journal. And it just helps you stick to and achieve what you're doing and kind of reflect on things. And I think it's a daily journal that you use.
Right. And actually, that's the one that I tend to use.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of the day, you know, you're going to talk about the things that, you know, you appreciate or that you actually that are. You're grateful. That's the word I was looking for. Grateful in your life. Three things there. Then you have three things that I think you're looking to get done. You have an affirmation. And then you have three things that did get done. And then a couple of things that you could have done better. And you just split that up during the day. A little bit at the beginning of the day, a little bit at the end, and you're done. And that's why it's called the 5-Minute Journal. It's pretty simple, actually.
Yeah, I mean that's the perfect example of you know, measuring yourself, how you're doing day to day. And like when you are in a situation like in college or after where you essentially set your own schedule. I mean, yeah, you have to when you're in school you work around your class schedule, but outside of that, really, you know. Just like John, like you were talking about, like who's the one making sure that you're studying or preparing for that test or doing your homework or whatever it is. And then beyond that, like, who's the one, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're, even if you're, you know, somebody's employee, you know, who is the one making sure that you're being successful for your own self and for your job? You know, that's gotta be you. So the, having that like 5-minute journal where you can reflect just for very brief periods of time, just kind of keeps your mindset, keeps your head in the game, so you're not distracted by whatever else it is that, because everybody has stuff come up day to day.
Right. Well, that's something else, is that even if you have, okay, so let's say that you are doing your visual, you're doing your journal. I just kind of, another thing is that you're going to be wanting to have visual aids as well. Subconsciously, you know, the journal is going to be more of a conscious effort where mm-hmm. you're actually having to think about answers, but subconsciously you want to have something there that is reminding you that this is still your goal that you want to do. So what I would do, you know, maybe have some sticky notes, maybe even, you know, draw something out, doesn't really matter, but something that is going to give you visual reminders to, so that your subconscious sees them. And I don't know if you guys know, but when your subconscious thinks of something or sees something, when you're sleeping, it's going to be working on the answer to, if there's a problem in any of that, it's going to be working on that problem.
Really?
And the more you see it, the more it's going to be working on that issue. Right?
Yep.
So, those are the reasons why you want to have those as visual aids, because not only as you're during the day, your subconscious is going to be like, oh, like maybe you see it in the morning. Oh yeah, I'm working towards this. And you see it at the end of the day. Oh yeah, still working on this. You're not thinking that outright, but your mind recognizes it. And it's like, oh yeah, I've done good, or I'm going to do awesome today, depending on whatever you see it. So
yeah, another kind of analogy or something that I might use towards like a visual reminder with sticky notes. And as you said, they can be whatever your goal is, whatever is going to help you focus, like refocus on your goal. Because like another analogy with sticky notes is a useful distraction. Like, you know, I don't know, there's these studies and there's like reflections on how long it takes people to redirect their attention after they're distracted from their day, right? So you get a text message or a Snapchat or whatever it is, and
whatever the kids are using these days.
And you're just distracted from your whatever you're doing at the time. If you were being proactive or if you were being productive, well, because you know, now you've taken at least 30 seconds away, and then you got to refocus. So what was I thinking about again?
Right. We all know about refocusing.
Yeah. So like when you have good distractions, I think of those as like a bad distraction. Like a good, and when you think of a bad distraction towards your productivity or your being proactive. But like a good distraction would be when your eyes glance away towards, you know, your computer screen or you know, you pick up your phone and you left a note for yourself on your phone. Like that's a good distraction because it puts you back on the right path of being proactive. So whatever the message is on your visual reminder should be something that kind of jars you back towards your like a weekly goal or a long-term goal.
Another, and if you're, you know, going back to the book example, if you're trying to help someone by writing this book, or if you're trying to maybe go to the gym and become, you know, getting better fitness, draw an avatar of or a representation of the person that you're wanting to help or the person that you're wanting to be. And that's a great visual aid to jar you back into what you're doing.
Yeah, totally. So
another thing that it's really simple that I think is often overlooked is just the power of a checklist. I mean, I don't know if you guys use a checklist, but every night before I go to bed, I for the most part, do my best to schedule out the next day. And I don't necessarily do it by time slots. I just do it by things that need to get done. And I'm a, I guess you could consider me like a driver analytical when it comes to things like this, because I'll see that checklist and I will not stop until it gets done. It's almost like a challenge to me, if that makes sense. And what do you guys do? How do you guys schedule your days?
Well, mine's a little different. I've done what you checklists in the past, but generally speaking, I kind of, going back to that whole weekly workflow thing, I kind of plan out my entire week on Sundays or Mondays. And generally these are the five or seven things that I want to get done this week. And then I place like at least one, maybe up to three different things per day that I want to get done that week. So that's my way of doing it. Now, I'm not saying that your way of doing, you know, certain things, the checklist on a daily way, is not going to work. I think depending on how you are getting things done and the weekly process, if you're not getting things done the first day, then you're going to have to make sure they get them done the next day. And that's when your method works for me. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I also think that checklists are very powerful. It's like that micro reward to like cross something off of your checklist. Seriously, I mean, like, you know, it's taking that inch towards making it to the goal line. But so like every little time you cross something off, that matters, and it's less burden on, at least for me, it was like less burden on my psyche, like less burden on my thoughts. If I cross something off, it's like I don't have to think about it anymore, which is another reason to write out a checklist, is to get everything out of your head that you have to do. And this is thinking, a lot of this can be short term, like just get the stuff that's like weighing you down, these thoughts of and tasks that you have to do, get them out of your head and onto a piece of paper. And a lot of time that can just be like for me, it was a feeling of relief. And there's less stress in my life. So I definitely think that checklists are a great tool. I ended up needing to go beyond checklists at a certain point. And I think everyone can gauge for their own, you know, based on how busy they are, whether a checklist is worth it to them, and maybe the situation too. But I was at the point where I just had so much to do, like a checklist would no longer cut it. Like my checklist would have things that needed to be done that couldn't get done for weeks or months, just because there was a lot on there, right? So
that good
feeling that happened when I crossed stuff off ended up actually being like a negative for me, like because I wasn't checking things off. So it was not having the good feeling anymore. I was just feeling like, damn, I need to get this done, but I'm not, it's taking forever. So checklists are awesome. I think that, and actually I ended up getting my checklist done more efficiently when I would schedule different tasks in my day. And give them like a time slot. And I know it kind of sounds silly, I guess, like you schedule, like when you have free time, like, do you really want to schedule something in your free time? But the answer is, yeah, if you want to be productive, if you want to be proactive, like use that free time instead of watching Netflix or Hulu or whatever, or playing video games. Like if you can schedule. Yeah, exactly. If you can not be like JC. No, I'm kidding. If you can just think of that free time as like an opportunity to like turn that wasted time or that time where you would be having fun, like make that like a, I don't know where I'm going with this, but make it like a,
besides JC bashing.
Yeah. Basically, I just mean like, you know, that's awesome. Like time is the one thing that no one has, you know, can get any more of. Like we're all fighting for our time, which is, I think, why entrepreneurship can be so awesome, because as an entrepreneur, you don't have to do everything yourself. You don't have to trade time for money.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when you can schedule your free time to be productive. And it doesn't, you don't have to schedule all your free time, but like you schedule it and you get things done. And then, yeah, you make that, cross it off your checklist. And it's definitely a viable option and something you should try out to figure out, you know, our checklist going to be it for me. But also think like long-term, because in my mind, checklists are very, for me anyway, it was a tool in the short term to get things done, like stuff that was weighing on me.
I absolutely agree. And one of the things that you talked about was being time broke. And I think that being proactive really in the end, I don't know what your guys' opinions are, but in my opinion, it saves you a lot of time in the long run because you don't feel like you're playing catch up.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that's kind of the reason why I put every single little thing that comes to mind to my calendar. So that's just like my checklist has turned into my calendar.
Right. Yeah. I think mine kind of did that too. It started off as a checklist, like paper and pen. And now I just find it to be more helpful if it's on, you know, on my calendar where I can see it anywhere.
Yeah. So anyway,
one other thing I wanted to briefly touch on is like, you know how when you have free time and you could play video games like JC, or you could do something else, like, you know, putting something in that free time that moves you forward to your goal is hugely important. Like, if you can look at your day and look at what, you know, pick out things that are helping you move towards your goal and pick out things that aren't. And if you can eliminate most of those things that aren't helping you move towards your goal, then you can reach your goals a lot faster. And so kind of just, again, that goes back to like the 5-minute journal, like reflecting on things that have helped you or reflecting on what you've done that day to help you reach your goal. You can maybe eliminate some of the things that haven't, or maybe you're distracting you from your goal.
All right. Unless, of course, your goal is to be a level 50 in Halo, which we had that conversation
about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that case, talk to JC.
Which I don't have. I'm just saying, what am I doing back in the day? And it was like, wow. Okay. Good luck, man. You do that. So Halo 5 coming out in October sometime. Beyond that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that about wraps it up for today. I guess the main takeaway for today is that you just, you know, you want to plan ahead so you don't feel like you're always catching up, to be honest. Again, personally with me, I do it in a weekly fashion. I kind of get everything lined up for the entire week, kind of be like, okay, on Tuesday, Monday, I'm going to do this. Tuesday, I'm going to do this. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then if you do have free time, whatever you want to, maybe we have talked about, we'll talk about definitions of free time later, I suppose. But if you do go by the weekly thing, do not be afraid of just completely using your calendar as your to-do list. I mean, that way you know specifically that you're allotting time for each one of those individual steps, and be realistic when you're doing it. So, John, what's the homework?
I think the biggest thing when wanting to take steps towards being more proactive is simply getting a calendar or journal and using it. Using it, actually, that's the key. There are a lot of different solutions out there. I guess it just depends on personal preference, whether it's Google Calendars or another freeform journal.
Diario is Diario? One. Yeah,
is it?
Diario, okay. I think, is a good one for Androids, and I'm sure that there's an iOS version out there. But, you know, it's just blank pages for you to use. And
yeah. But after this conversation, something that I'm personally going to look into is the 5-minute journal, because quite frankly, I'd never heard of it until you guys brought it up. But, you know, it's really caught my interest, and I see it as being a potentially very positive tool. So yeah.
There is actually an iOS version of the 5-minute journal. That's actually why I'm using Diario, because there's not a 5-minute journal, but I do format my Diario entries as a 5-minute journal every day. So there you go.
There we have it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. And listeners, we'll see you next time. Salute.
Well, we won't see them next time.
And there you go. I hope you enjoyed that chat about being proactive. As you can tell, it seems that it has helped John quite a bit in his recent years in getting through college. Go to newinceptions.com/session5, session 5, for the show notes. There you can find all links to topics that we discussed in the show. One of the things that we talked about during the show was about making a vision that your goals in life will help you achieve. Recently, I found an app that you can use to make those goals more visual friendly. It's called Vision Board. I'll have the link for that in the show notes. Also, I spoke briefly about the Prussian education system. If you want to find out more about that, there's actually a podcast that I recently listened to that does a better job of describing it. It's the first session of the School Sucks podcast. That's right, School Sucks podcast. Again, thanks for listening. If you'd like to subscribe for free and make sure you get all of our new shows sent directly to your listening device, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Further instructions on how to do just that are in the show notes as well. Of course, I want to give a few shout-outs to those that make this show possible. First up, Fizzle.co. Need a roadmap to start an online business? Fizzle has you covered. One of the reasons it took me so long to get going was because I had all these ideas going around in my head and how to, you know, possibly start this crazy thing called New Inceptions. You know, I finally heard of Fizzle through the SPI podcast, and since I joined, it's been pretty amazing. Recently, they redesigned their forum to be very similar to Quora, with a hint of Facebook. On top of that, they have a library with 40-plus courses in it. You know, personally, I've just scratched the surface of that library, and, you know, I got a lot more to go. But then there's Fizzle Fridays, where staff members make themselves available to small groups so that, you know, if you're part of that group, you can ask any questions you have regarding your online business. You know, you can get all that for free in your first month by going to newinceptions.com/fizzle. And speaking of free, even if you don't become a member right away, you can always listen to their podcast, The Fizzle Show, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. So, of course, I want to also give thanks to the host of New Inceptions, HostGator.com. And as you know, I definitely love me some HostGator. Why? Simply because they have a 24/7, 365-day customer service that you can chat with, or you can go old-fashioned and call them up on the phone. Pretty much unlimited everything, space, email accounts, bandwidth, and they have a very simple do-it-yourself interface on the back end of your site. So you truly don't need to be a tech genius to get a site up going with them. You know, you get all this for a great price too. In fact, if you go through newinceptions.com/HostGator, you'll get 20% off the base rate, which is actually a kind of ridiculous value. So take it from me when I say you can't really do much better than HostGator for shared hosting. So that's it. Thank you again for listening in, and we can't wait to serve you in the next episode of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Until then, make sure to check out the show notes at newinceptions.com/session5. Thanks so much. We appreciate you, and let's keep moving forward, gang.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.